From in the beginning to the musical apocalypse, this is The Bible Says What. I'm your host, Mike Wiseman. Season's greetings, BSW heathens. Sadly, I do not have a guest on today's show. I will, however, be reading a little snippet from the BSW book I felt was fitting. Let's start the show.
Is there anything in the Bible that you yourself have an issue with?
A divine glass.
This is not an edifying conversation.
God doesn't kill children.
What do you think the Passover was? Are you reading a different Bible?
No.
Yahweh sets up a whole system in the Old Testament where you slaughter animals just so he's able to forgive you. You worship him because of the things he's done. Why can I not judge him because of the things he's done?
Obey me or I'll kill your kids. It doesn't seem very...
Well, that's brutal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, man, what a tough life.
The stories that record the birth, life, death, and resurrection of the Christian demigod are to the majority of Christians among the most important stories found within the Bible. Matthew and Luke are the only two books of the Bible that document the birth of the Christian demigod, and neither of them can agree on the details of this event. According to the book of Luke, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was visited by an angel who informed her that she was going to have a son, Luke 1:30-31. This angel explained to Mary that one day the Holy Spirit would come upon her and the power of the Most High will overshadow and impregnate her, Luke 1:35. In the book of Matthew, it was Joseph, the future stepfather of Jesus, who received a visit from an angel, Matthew 1:20. Joseph's angel notified him that his wife-to-be will give birth to a son and that he will not be the father of this child, Matthew 1:20. He was told that the baby conceived in her womb will not come from him, but from the Holy Spirit, from Yahweh himself. The Bible implies that Jesus was a bastard child born out of supernatural insemination. Joseph had no connection to Jesus genetically. Yet for some reason, Yahweh gives us a genealogy for Jesus that comes from the lineage of Joseph rather than Mary. According to the genealogies given to us in Matthew 1:2-17 and Luke 3:23-38, Joseph, the husband of Mary, was the biological father of Jesus. If we are supposed to believe that Mary was supernaturally inseminated, why then do we get a genealogy for Joseph's side of the family, asserting it to be the lineage of Jesus? According to the birth account found in the book of Matthew, the evil King Herod became disturbed upon receiving news from a group of magi regarding the birth of the one they called the King of the Jews, Matthew 2:1-3. Magi, according to the dictionary, are sorcerers, or people who possess magical powers. The Bible says that these magi told King Herod they were following a star, and that the star was leading them to a child who was to be the King of the Jews. Jealous of this child's self-proclaimed royal status, the evil King Herod sent the magical people to Bethlehem so that they may find and report back to him the location of this new king, Matthew 2:8. When the magi located the infant demigod, they gave him three gifts, gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh, Matthew 2:11. After dropping off their treasures, the magical people left and did not go back to Herod. They did not report to him the location of the child as he had asked. But the baby Jesus was still not safe from the evil king, Matthew 2:12. Later that night, while Joseph was asleep, an angel revealed to him in a dream that King Herod was searching for the child to kill him, Matthew 2:13. Joseph heeded the angelic warning and took the child and his wife-to-be during the night and left for Egypt, Matthew 2:14. The birth of Jesus as described in the book of Matthew contains escapes from a mad king and a bright star leading an unknown number of magical people to the birthplace of a child they called the King of the Jews. The book of Luke records the event of Jesus' birth completely different. According to the book of Luke, there was no danger from a king named Herod, no bright star and no magical people with presents. The birth scene of the baby Jesus in Luke takes place in the same city as Matthew, Bethlehem. Unlike Matthew, which claims that Magi found baby in a house, Matthew 2:11, Luke says that Mary gave birth to Jesus and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in an inn they had stopped at, Luke 2:7. No house was mentioned. According to Luke, Yahweh sent an angel down to earth in order to bring good news of great joy of his son's birth to a small group of shepherds that were living out in the fields nearby Bethlehem, Luke 2:8-10. The angel told them that a Savior had been born in the city and that they should go and check it out. Luke 2:11 through 12. Why would Yahweh only inform a few shepherds in one field? Why not send hordes of angels to the whole city or the whole world proclaiming this great news? Feeling the attention drift away from himself, Yahweh sends down a great company of heavenly hosts to start praising him and giving him all the glory. Luke 2:13. Why did Yahweh send only one angel to announce the great news of his son's birth, but then send down a large group of angels to praise and glorify himself? Why is the Christian deity so self-centered? In the book of Luke, the baby Jesus does not get chased from Bethlehem by an evil king. Rather, with time to relax, Mary sat up and pondered the events that had taken place that evening. Luke 2:19. The book of Luke ends its version of the birth narrative not with dramatic escapes to Egypt, but with baby Jesus receiving a circumcision on the eighth day of his life. Luke 2:21. During this barbaric ritual, one or more adults restrained the baby demigod, and without any kind of numbing agent, another adult cut off part of his penis. It is a practice we will take a closer look at in chapter 11. These two stories inside a book that claims to be flawless, these two narratives that cover the same exact event, contradict each other until the very end. Both of these stories cannot be accurate. Christians have to either ignore the blatant contradictions or make excuses for them. That's all the podcast there is for you today. Thanks for listening. I know I've been behind on my host duties, and I apologize. I love doing this show, so next year I will do my best to give more attention to the podcast. I also love hearing from you, so feel free to email the show at bswthepodcast@gmail.com. And no matter which platform you use to listen to your podcasts, don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you won't miss out on the next episode. Until then, would you kindly pick up your Bibles and read them?
Take it, Daddy.